over it, no. But life goes on, like they say. Actually, I was hoping... Naki had been about to tell him how she had imagined the arrival of the visitors would close that chapter. But she doubted she would be able to convey her feelings in a way Dr. Sivaraksa would understand. Well, I was hoping I'd have put it all behind me by now. I knew another conformal, you know. Fellow from Gajoa. Made it into the elite swimmer corps before anyone had the foggiest idea. It's never been proven that Mina was conformal, sir. No, but the signs were there, weren't they? To one degree or another, we're all subject to symbolic invasion by the ocean's microorganisms. But conformals show an unusual degree of susceptibility. On one hand, it's as if their own bodies actively invite the invasion, shutting down the usual inflammatory or foreign cell rejection mechanisms. On the other, the ocean seems to tailor its messengers for maximum effectiveness, as if the jugglers have selected a specific target they wish to absorb. Mina had very strong fungal patterns, did she not? I've seen worse, Naki said, which was not entirely a lie. But not, I suspect, in anyone who ever attempted to commune. I understand you had ambitions to join the swimmer corps yourself? Before all that happened. I understand. And now? Naki had never told anyone that she had joined Mina in the swimming incident. The truth was that even if she had not been present at the time of Mina's death, her encounter with the rogue mind would have put her off entering the ocean for life. It isn't for me. That's all. Jota Sivaraksa nodded gravely. A wise choice. Aptitude or not, you'd have almost certainly been filtered out of the swimmer corps. A direct genetic connection to a conformal, even an unproven conformal, would be too much of a risk. That's what I assumed, sir. Does it trouble you, Naki? She was wearying of this. She had work to do, deadlines to meet that Sivaraksa himself had imposed. Does what trouble me? He nodded at the sea. Now that the play of light had shifted minutely, it looked less like dimpled leather than a sheet of beaten bronze. The thought that Mina might still be out there, in some sense? It might trouble me if I were a swimmer, sir. Other than that, no, I can't say that it does. My sister died. That's all that mattered. Swimmers have occasionally reported encountering minds, essences of the lost, Naki. The impressions are often acute. The conformed leave their mark on the ocean at a deeper, more permanent level than the impressions left behind by mere swimmers. One senses that there must be a purpose to this. That wouldn't be for me to speculate, sir. No. He glanced down at the comm pad and then tapped his forefinger against his upper lip. No, of course not. Well, to the matter at hand. She interrupted him. You swam once, sir? Yes. Yes, I did. The moment stretched. She was about to say something, anything, when Sivaraksa continued. I had to stop for medical reasons. Otherwise, I suppose I'd have been in the swimmer corps for a good deal longer, at least until my hands started turning green. What was it like? Astonishing. Beyond anything I'd expected. Did they change you? At that he smiled. I never thought that they did, until now. After my last swim, I went through all the usual neurological and psychological tests. They found no anomalies, no indications that the jugglers had imprinted any hints of alien personality or rewired my mind to think in an alien way. Sivaraksa reached across the desk and held up the smoky cube that Naki had taken for a paperweight. This came down from the Voice of Evening. Examine it. Naki peered into the milky gray depths of the cube. Now that she saw it closely, she realized that there were things embedded within the translucent matrix. There were chains of unfamiliar symbols intersecting at right angles. They resembled the complex white scaffolding of a building.
What is it?
Mathematics. Actually, a mathematical argument, a proof, if you like. Conventional mathematical notation, no matter how arcane, has evolved so that it can be written down on a two-dimensional surface, like paper or a readout. This is a three-dimensional syntax, liberated from that constraint. It's enormously richer, enormously more elegant. The cube tumbled in Sivaraksa's hand. He was smiling. No one could make head or tail of it. Yet when I looked at it for the first time, I nearly dropped it in shock. It made perfect sense to me. Not only did I understand the theorem, but I also understood the point of it. It's a joke, Naki. A pun. This mathematics is rich enough to embody humor, and understanding that is the gift they left me. It was sitting in my mind for 28 years, like an egg waiting to hatch. Abruptly, Sivaraksa placed the cube back on the table. "Something's come up," he said. From somewhere came the distant, prolonged thunder of a dirigible discharging its cargo of processed ore. It must have been one of the last consignments.
"Something, sir?"
"They've asked to see the moat."
"They?"
"Crane and her Vahishta mob. They've requested an oversight of all major scientific centers on Turquoise, and naturally enough, we're on the list. They'll be visiting us, spending a couple of days seeing what we've achieved."
"I'm not too surprised that they've asked to visit, sir."
"No, but I was hoping we'd have a few months' grace. We don't. They'll be here in a week."
"That's not necessarily a problem for us, is it?"
"It mustn't become one," Sivaraksa said. "I'm putting you in charge of the visit, Naki. You'll be the interface between Crane's group and the moat. That's quite a responsibility, you understand. A mistake, the tiniest gaffe, could undermine our standing with the Snowflake Council."
He nodded at the compad.
"Our budgetary position is tenuous. Frankly, I'm in Takton Bori's lap. We can't afford any embarrassments."
"No, sir."
She certainly did understand. The job was a poison chalice, or at the least a chalice with a strong potential to become poisoned. If she succeeded, if the visit went smoothly with no hitches, Sivaraksa could still take much of the credit for it. If it went wrong, on the other hand, the fault would be categorically hers.
"One more thing." Sivaraksa reached under his desk and produced a brochure that he slid across to her. The brochure was marked with a prominent silver snowflake motif. It was sealed with red foil.
"Open it. You have clearance."
"What is it, sir?"
"A security report on our new friends. One of them has been behaving a bit oddly. You'll need to keep an eye on him."
For inscrutable reasons of their own, the liaison committee had decided she would be introduced to Amisha Crane and her associates a day before the official visit, when the party was still in Sukhothai Senikiluak. The journey there took the better part of 2 days, even allowing for the legs she took by high-speed dirigible or the aging, unreliable trans-atoll railway line between Narathiwat and Cape Dorset. She arrived at Sukhothai Senikiluak in a velvety purple twilight, catching the tail end of a fireworks display. The two snowflake cities had only been married 3 weeks, so the arrival of the off-worlders was an excellent pretext for prolonging the celebrations. Naki watched the fireworks from a civic landing stage perched halfway up Sukhothai's core, starbursts and cataracts of scarlet, indigo, and intense emerald green brightening the sky above the vacuum bladders. The colors reminded her of the organisms that she and Mina had seen in the wake of their airship. The recollection left her suddenly sad and drained, convinced that she had made a terrible mistake by accepting this assignment.
"Naki?"
It was Takton Bori, coming out to meet her on the balcony. They had already exchanged messages during the journey. He was dressed in full civic finery and appeared more than a little drunk.
"Chairman Tonbori?"
"Good of you to come here, Naki."
She watched his eyes map her contours with scientific rigor, lingering here and there around regions of particular interest.
"Enjoying the show?"
"You certainly seem to be, sir."
"Yes, yes. Always had a thing about fireworks."
He pressed a drink into her hand, and together they watched the display come to its mildly disappointing conclusion. There was a lull then, but Naki noticed that the spectators on the other balconies were reluctant to leave, as if waiting for something. Presently, a stunning display of three-dimensional